I hope you're having as much fun with the Sermon on the Mount, the series of teachings from Jesus that we have in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as we are, and the preaching team is, as bringing these sermons to you. Every week I get together with the preachers of our other campuses, and we have more fun studying this passage and then kind of working together how we will solve the problem of communicating this great biblical truth to you and to your setting and where you are. And a lot of us are in a prime setting to hear what Jesus is teaching about today. After all, a few weeks ago, we were in the middle of the most booming economy, the greatest economy that the United States had ever seen. Employment was at an all-time, unemployment was at an all-time low. Everybody was being successful in some form or fashion. People were trying to find workers because you couldn't hire workers fast enough to answer all of the building. And then we shut it down. COVID-19 hit the shores of the United States, and in reaction to the dangers of that virus, we told everybody to go home. We shut restaurants. We shut venues. We shut down shopping centers and malls. We shut down barbershops and beauty salons. Everything was shut down. We shut down churches, and just like that, everything that it was going so well stopped. Those things that we thought would be surefire successes probably won't make it through the virus pandemic. Things that we thought would be sure to work out are now gone. That's the problem, isn't it? This is what Jesus warned us about. Don't lay up yourselves treasures in places where thieves can steal and moths can eat and rust can corrode. Because, see, when these treasures lose their value, if that's the place you've put your hope, when they lose their value, so do you. This is what Jesus was warning about at the end of Matthew chapter 6. I know it's a little weird, but stand. It's still God's word. Hear the word of the Lord as we begin reading in verse 19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is healthy, then your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Now, no one can serve two masters, since you will either hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Pray with me. How incredible of a teacher your son is to us. How brilliant his insights. Now we pray, Father, that we would be eager students, craving to understand every aspect of this passage, chewing on it till we sucked every bit of truth out of it, and we would have the courage to live and the freedom that your son and his truth brings to us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let me ask you something. When I read that passage, did you think there was a typo? That verse that says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Do you think that's a typo? Do you think it should read, where your heart is, your treasure will be? Because most of us assume I will put my heart somewhere, and when I put my heart in something, then everything I treasure and love will be where my heart is. Jesus says it's the other way around. It's where you put those things that you value, those things that bless you. Remember the words at the beginning of the Beatitudes, chapter 5, the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are these people. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the brokenhearted. Blessed are those who mourn. These are the people who are blessed. Where is it that you find your blessing? To whom do you look to give your life meaning and purpose and hope? Wherever you put your source of blessing, that's where your heart is. You think it's going to be the other way around. You think it's going to be, I will love something, then I will invest in it. Mm-mm. You learn to love whatever you have invested in. You love to crave where you have put your treasure. You look for that thing to give you a blessing, to tell you you are something and somebody. Most of us have some kind of ego wall in our home. You know the ego wall. It's where you put all your degrees and the pictures of you shaking hands with famous people and awards you've made and all those kind of things. And in those moments when you're having a tough day, you go in there and say, okay, I must be okay. I must be somebody because look at all the things I have done. Those are things that rust destroys, moths eat, thieves steal. Or you lose in a pandemic when they tell you you're quarantined and you can't do those things that give you your life value, that bless you. I remind you of this all the time. Your blessing comes from two sources. One, you carry within you the imago Dei, the image of God himself. You know why murder is wrong in the Old Testament? It's not that you kill a person. It's that you damage the image of God within that person. That's how much you're worth. And on the day the world demands your ransom, Jesus Christ paid your ransom with his own life. That's how much you're worth. That's where your blessings come from. That's where your identity is founded. That's where your purpose comes from. The image of God within you and the price that Christ paid for you. Then, in the middle of this passage, Jesus sticks in something that doesn't seem to belong. He says something about your eye, looking at darkness, and your eye. It doesn't make any sense in this passage. I've got this great thing about treasure, where your heart is and where your treasure is, and then I got another part about how you'll love God or you'll love money. That seems to work, but what about this chunk in the middle? It doesn't seem to pay to fit at all, or does it? You know, one of the things that our world is talking about now is the management of attention. People who stay up late at night and study these things say that when you call up a website, that it will take you 8 seconds to determine whether or not you will click on that website or move on. 8 seconds. So people who make their living in this kind of thing talk about ways to grab your attention. How can I hold your attention? Can I make something wiggle on the screen? Can I make something move? Can I make an ad pop up in the middle of what you're watching so that you will pay attention? That's what Jesus is talking about here. What is it that you are paying attention to? What is it that you're looking at and saying, if I had that, my life would be blessed? I would be somebody if I just had that. You know, the problem with that is always a bigger one. I've told you the story before. You know, there's always the guy who's begging his wife for a little boat. Baby, I just want a little fishing boat, a little bitty boat. That's all I want. I want a little 40 horsepower outboard on the back. I just want to put out to the middle of the lake. I want to fish, and then I'll come back, and I'll just have a day or two of relaxation. It'll be great, baby, and I'll be so much easier to live with if I can just get a little boat. She finally gives in. He gets his little boat, and he casts out into the lake, and he's happier than he's ever been. He's in his little boat. He's fishing, not a care in the world, until somebody goes by with a bigger boat. And then he needs a bigger boat. It never ends. There's always a faster car. There's always a bigger boat. And if that is your light, if that's where your eye is paying attention, then Jesus says that is the darkest dark there is. But at the end of this teaching, it's very uncomfortable. Jesus forces a decision. He doesn't give you any chance to get out of this. You will do one or the other. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You will love one and you will despise the other. You'll be devoted to one and you will hate the other. Notice the extremes of the conversation. Jesus is saying you will love one and you will hate the other. There's no middle ground. There's no kind of liking it. If you love God, then you will hate stuff. That's what the word is. It's manna. It says it's stuff. The word translated money is stuff. Either you will be controlled and blessed by stuff, or you'll be controlled and blessed by God. One or the other. You will love one and hate the other. Now, it doesn't happen, that you get up on one morning and go, you know, today I've decided I'm going to love stuff. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love stuff so much I'm going to hate God. That's what I'm going to do. It doesn't happen that way. It happens slowly. Slowly. Let me show you how it happens. You decide you're going to make something in your career. Okay, I'm going to be successful and I'm going to reach this level of success. And the people who are there at that level of success say, hey, you can be this successful, but here's what it costs. You may lose touch with your family. It may strain your marriage. You'll have to pay a price, but this is what you want, so this is what it costs. And you do it. And you reach that level of success only to find out there's another mountain to climb. And the price is a little higher, to the point that you will think anything that doesn't help you get what you want, then you hate it. It's like any other addiction. If somebody doesn't help you get your next drug of choice, whether it is alcohol, cocaine, or stuff, then you will hate them. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself in arguments with people about God who makes these silly rules, who won't help you be happy, and you find yourself angry at God. See what happens? You crave stuff so much, you'll actually hate God. No, I would never do that. Yes, you will. That's what every addict does. And it all starts where you're paying attention. Remember the story of Simon Peter when he saw Jesus walking in the water? If it's you, Lord, let me come to you. And Peter heard the last thing he wanted to hear. Come on. And Peter walks on water. And we're told in the story, as long as he's looking at Jesus, he's fine. When he starts looking at the waves, he sinks. So where is your attention? You can do the things that matter. You can do the things that make life worth living as long as your attention is on Jesus. But when your attention goes anywhere else, you'll sink. So this morning, we come to this moment where Jesus is forced a decision. Either you'll love God and hate stuff, or you'll love stuff and hate God. It's a hard choice, and you're making it right now, wherever you pay attention. So this morning, I beg you, put your attention on Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, focus our eyes, our hearts, our total lives, everything on you and nothing but you.